Hey, and welcome back to the episode. It's just me, your boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
We're here to talk about the newest episode of Loki. It's going to be a quick one, really, because it's more of the theory crafting, right?
A little bit, but also, I think it's a very interesting episode because we finally get a Kang variant, the Victor Timely.
Which is a version of Kang that's in the universe. I looked it up a bit.
Yeah, it's basically him, but in 1800, like turn of the century America, you know, like early late 1800s, early 1900s. You know, he's a you know, a crackpot inventor. You know, mainly a charlatan kind of thing, where he just sort of sells like bong inventions.
They're not terrible inventions, mind you.
No, they have potential, but it's clearly, like, they're mostly just there for him to just make a quick buck and, like, skedaddle. But, yeah, pretty much, you know, continuing from the last episode to start off with, like, the Loom in danger, you know, even though, what was her name, Doc? Yeah, Doc.
Yeah.
Pruned a lot of those timelines, they are growing back, right? But that also stresses the temporal Loom. And, OB is like, we're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die!
So, you know, they need the temporal aura of basically He Who Remains in order to, like, access the temporal loom and fix it. However, you know, they don't know where he would be. And also, you know, it's like, you know, let's find Renslayer. You know, Miss Minutes gave her some stuff. We have a ping on her. Let's go find her. Let's get some answers.
And it leads them into the past.
Yeah, 1897, I think, is what they said. Yeah. You know, that sort of the Chicago World's Fair. But also, we get a little primer, I think, before the episode actually starts, with Renslayer and Miss Minutes. Pretty much, Miss Minutes has Renslayer drop off a book to a young Victor Timely, a TVA manual.
Yeah.
Essentially, putting him on the track, you know, to become who he's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
One of those interesting shenanigans.
It's setting the... So there's an interesting conversation, right, about, especially when it comes to Sylvie and her relationship with the TVA, about it being, like, free will and all that stuff. So would you consider this them being free will if you are leading them on to be a certain thing?
Yeah, that is also... I think that's, you know, the big theme of... Not just this episode, but I think Loki in general, right? You know, because that's sort of the whole point of the TVA, of, like, pruning all these different timelines to have the sacred timeline.
Yeah.
You know, no variations. It has to be one way or the other. You know, like, and constantly having all the Lokis being, you know, like, the same. You know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, you know, so Loki and Mobius go back in time, you know, at the World's Fair, trying to figure things out. And also, I think there's a fun little... I guess kind of emotional beat where they see this, like Viking inspired area, and they see all like the Thor, Odin, and Baldur, and they're like, Loki's just like, this is just completely ignorant. It's like, I think you're just jealous you're not up there. And it's like, who even knows Baldur? What do you mean, Baldur the Brave? Come on, Loki. You're just jealous.
He's jealous. Because most of the time, people just think of Thor.
Yeah.
And, like, this now he's popular, Baldur, because of the God of War Ragnarok game.
Well, I mean, as well, he is also just a pretty substantial Norse figure.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be the, like, the Jesus of Norse mythology.
Well, I guess, if you want to call it that, but, I mean, I don't know, I'm not that informative on...
It's been a while, I haven't...
All I remember is that he died through mistletoe or something, right?
Yeah.
Which is, like, silly. But yeah, you know, that's sort of, you know, they go see this sort of Victor Timely, presentation, right?
Yeah.
I think it's, the word's temporal, and it's like, okay, because, you know, they're trying to find Renslayer at this, this, World's Fair thing, right? And they sit through, Victor Timely's little presentation, and it's kind of like, and Moby is just sort of like playing it, like, really, this is the guy?
This is the guy.
This is the guy.
This nerdy looking motherfucker.
This stuttering mess of a man who's constantly, like, forgetting the words he's supposed to be saying on stage. This is the guy.
This is the scariest motherfucker you ever seen.
And Loki's like, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's him. Like, sure. And part of it is, again, it's this idea I think a lot of people have that, you know, Kang and Timely are one and the same. They're different versions of themselves. So this is probably the most not in offense.
that's a weird word to use. Yeah. Like least threatening.
Yes, least threatening. I know there's a word for it.
Unassuming.
Yeah, like you can't see this guy, you know, take over the world or anything. It's impossible. Look at him.
Yeah.
Scared of his own shadow, he is.
You know. Yeah, like he's. I mean, yeah, it's very interesting to have that dichotomy, but it's also kind of one of those like. I think it's supposed to be like that because of, you know, how this episode goes. Because, I mean, like, everybody, you know, after the presentation, you know, there's a bunch of, like, straight up people trying to, you know, like, buy his adventures. Like, I'll pay, like, $1,000, which back in the day, $1,000 was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
You know? So, and meanwhile, like, it is kind of funny because Renslayer tries to talk to him, but then Mobius and Loki jump in too, and it's kind of one of those things, like,
he's like, okay, I'm giving too much attention. I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you know.
Because that's when we find out he's a con man.
Yeah, like, he straight up is like, we see the first guy, like, these mechanical spender things don't make me taller. He's like, are you sure about that? I think you look taller. How about I come, you know, visit you next week? I told you it's a prototype. Maybe I can fix it for you. And he's like, yeah, okay. He's like a silver-tongued liar. Except, you know, when they don't buy it and they realize they've been spilling away their money with this dude who buys a temporal loom thing, which is, like, kind of phony. It's like, I want my money back. You swindled me out of my money, man.
Okay, first of all, I think I'll give it credit. It's the, what is it, the, what time frame is this? 1900?
1890, yeah.
1890, so this is, like, what, the 19th century?
Yeah.
You never buy the prototype.
Well, I mean, this is the Gilded Age, you know? You have, you know, all kinds of people making money off of the railroads and oil.
Yeah, this is where, what's that thing? The one place they used to have in Chicago, the World's Fair?
Yeah, that's exactly where the...
Oh, that's where it is?
Yeah, that's where they are.
Oh,
they say
shit,
that.
I'm stupid.
Yeah. I literally said it, like, 5 minutes ago.
Oh, my bad. I did not pay attention.
But yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, this is, like, that area of time where there is a bunch of World's Fair stuff. I mean...
A lot of inventions going around.
Yeah, like, just a lot of, you know, that sort of thing. And, of course, you know, Victor Timely makes the most of it. So there's a huge chase through the World's Fair thing. They sort of get cornered. And then guess who shows up?
Guess.
Somebody who does not like any of the Kang variants.
How does she get there, though?
Well, I mean, she has her own tempad.
Oh, that's why they gave her a tempad.
Yeah, she has her own.
Yeah.
So, and she also kind of, you know... She's there to make all good on her promise of just killing all the Kang variants, which is Loki's like, no, we need him, because...
The timelines.
Well, that, yeah, and, like, we can use his temporal aura. He's not he who remains, but he's a variant, and if we can just convince him to come with us, you know, we can fix everything, right?
This is pre-evil. We could make him pre-good.
Or make him good, yeah.
Yes.
But Sylvie is of the mind of, no, you realize, like, Renslayer probably planted that book to him. This is all part of their plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just bringing He Who Remains back to the TVA, the guy who started it all. That's, you know, this is no good. I'm going to kill him. So we sort of replay the ending of the first season, right?
Yeah.
Where Loki's just trying to, like, not have Sylvie kill him, He Who Remains.
Yeah.
But this time, it's more of, like, you're trying to reason with, you know, it's like, we're in the same position before. I can't let you do it again.
Yeah.
Not this time, please.
But, I won't let you distract me with a kiss.
But, yeah, so a little fight ensues. Obviously, there's the whole shenanigans, and Renslayer unleashes Miss Minutes just to, like, drive everybody away and sneak off with Victor. You know?
I like how earlier they were like, ghost talk, go walking around.
It's like, wait, what? And yeah, that sort of gives the guys the clueiness to, like, all right, so where, like, is there any way we can find Renslayer, what's our big clue here? We're just gonna be wandering around all of Chicago, and you know, this little kid with the paper just goes, "Ghost clock, sighted," you know, like mysterious ghost clock. It's like, wait, what the fuck? And they see the little paper, newspaper thing, and it's just like accurate looking,
Missed minutes.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it looks a little photoshopped.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny to me. It's just like, she's making ooh, spooky face, and it's just like, well, I guess we have our clues here. Let's just get the...
Yeah, and then they bring it back around, making himself a giant clock.
A yeah, giant you goat. Know. I think people have probably seen it in the trailer, but yeah, that's where that happens.
Yeah.
But
essentially, Renslayer and Victor escape, and leads to a very cute moment where there's sort of a blooming romance between these two, and that's essentially a thing that goes on through for the rest of the episode, where like I thought it was interesting, to be honest, because like, so okay, so here's the thing. In the comics, from what I have researched a bit, right, Victor Timely or Kang does have a romantic interest, and it is Renslayer. I think I talked about it in the first season.
Right.
And so they're hinting at this, and they're, you know, building on it, which I'm interested to see where that goes, because it's not only cute, but it's also kind of funny because Miss Minutes is there third wheeling.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. You know, that's definitely, you're not wrong there. It's kind of funny.
It's just like, this is awkward. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in one of those situations where, like, you are clearly third wheeling when it's two people who are, like, into each other. It's very awkward. It's very, very freaking awkward.
Well, I mean, Miss Ben is just a clock. I mean, what does she care, right?
I mean, she does care.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, you know, obviously, they sort of make another escape because, you know, people still want their money. Loki and Mobius are still trying to get Victor, you know, because obviously they need him. And, you know, like, Victor makes the obvious point of, like, hey, so, I mean, you know, you're telling me the exact same thing that Loki, that dude over there with the magic powers was telling me. Why aren't you guys working together? That seems like you have the same interests. To which Renslayer is like, yeah, no, they can't be trusted. So, like, I mean, you gotta trust us.
Yeah. Trust us.
Like, because obviously Renslayer, and I assume his Minutes' plan, is to have Victor become the next He Who Remains and sort of, you know, reset the clock, more or less, to get everything back under control. Oh, and that's why, you know, they have the same needs for him, but just for very different outcomes, right? But anyways, you know, they go off to his lab, I think in Wisconsin. So, you know, they're taking a ferry ride. And, you know, they have more, you know, Renslayer and Victor have more, like, little bonding moments, right?
Like I said, a cute romantic moment.
Until.
Miss Minutes knocks the shit out of her.
Well, I mean, Miss Minutes convinces Victor to, because, you know, drop the little ferry boat holding Ramona. So that way, you know, Miss Minutes and Victor can go to the lab while Ramona's just like, what the hell, bro? What the hell is that?
Yeah, no, they just literally dropped her off. And that's when they get to the laboratory, and Miss Minutes essentially spills a lot of stuff. And some stuff that I'm like, oh, this is a little creepy. Where, granted, I'm interested to see... I wouldn't say interested to see more of it, I just want to see, like, what the heck is going on. Clearly, they're building up Miss Minutes to be something more, right? Because... Do you want to explain it, or do you want me to do it?
Well, I mean, yeah, we get a little bit of backstory on how Miss Minutes was made. You know, obviously she's an AI, you know, and she talks about how, you know, like, she was just a regular AI that He Who Remains we play games with and stuff, and then eventually he sort of just put into her programming that she can just evolve, essentially. Like, she can write her own code and, like, advance and, like, have wants and desires and stuff like that. Which leads her to being sort of like, basically admitting that she's in love with He Who Remains. She tries to, like, pretend, like, why don't you give me my own body? That way we can be, you know, leading together forever and stuff. And it's like, And Victor's just sort of like, well, I mean, that's not me, though. I didn't make you.
And it's funny because it sets up this whole thing about, like, I'm not that person.
Yeah, it's like, I have my own wants and desires and stuff. As much as you guys want me to be, you know, so-and-so, I'm kind of just, I'm just me.
Yeah.
You guys keep talking about, like, oh, I did this and that. It's like, I haven't done anything. Like, all I do is just swindle people out of the money. I mean, I have cool ideas because of the TVA guidebook, but the technology I have at the moment doesn't let me do that, so that's why I do the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Listen, I'm using it to survive. I'm smart, but I'm not that smart. I don't know about AIs. I'm from the 1800s.
Yeah, you know, so it's...
We don't even know anything about AI. We never use the word artificial at all.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a very interesting conversation. Obviously, Victor gets freaked out about it. He turns her off. And then Renslayer decides to show up with a sort of prototype pruning device.
Yeah, like, hey, I was wondering what that was until it started doing stuff.
Yeah, until she used it on a mannequin, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, all right, listen. I'm taking orders from He Who Remains at this point.
Yeah.
And you're going to do exactly what I'm telling you to, or else I'll just kill you. You know, it's really one or two ways. With Loki and Mobius dropping in, pretty much being like, you know, hey, let's not get any crazy here. Because the entire time, Mobius has also been trying to reason with Renslayer, like, hey, why'd you do the things you do? Why'd you almost kill me, man? What's going on? And Renslayer's pretty much just, like, you know, not having it for the most part. It's like, you can't convince me. I've got my own thing here going on. And, you know, this sort of debate spirals into the conversation she has in, you know, the scene where she's pretty much just like, you know, I'm the reason why the TVA has been running just fine, all right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it back to where it's supposed to be, you know?
With this guy's help.
Yeah, like, you want to know why the TVA is, like, running amok?
Because I'm not there.
Yeah, because I'm not the one who constantly had to do the hard decisions, you know? And clearly, you know, that's sort of her sort of viewpoint. But Sylvie's in... shows up, blasts everybody, you know, and she's about to kill Victor. But Victor sort of pleads his case, like, listen, I don't know who you are, I don't know what I've done to you personally, but I'm just the guy, right?
I'm just scared.
Yeah, like...
I'm scared for my life, guys.
You know, you don't have a reason to kill me, I haven't done anything, you know, I'm just a dude. You know, and, you know, Sylvie makes the case that you will do bad things one day, but that's not me, though. You know,
that's
like,
another me.
I'm not that person you're talking about, and it sort of brings up, like, again, the big sort of theme of probably the show of, like, you know, your actions, you know, your fate is not decided, right? You make your own fate. And Sylvie, the very person who killed He Who Remains to bring about free will, that's her whole thing, like, I want people to live, you know, have free will, you know, that sort of thing.
Not to be subjugated to the stuff that I had to be subjugated to.
Yeah, not to be subjugated by the TVA and all that stuff. And now she sort of looks at it, it's like, well, shit. I am becoming the thing I sought to destroy.
It's a really nice realization because he's right. That he's not that version of He Who Remains. He's not Kang. He is Victor Timely. He is an entirely different character who has been... questionable things at best, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a crook, but he's not, like,
He's not killing people. He's not ruining people's lives.
Right.
He's at least swindling off, you know, rich people off their money, but, you know, that depends on where you stand on that situation.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah. What I'm getting at is that, you know, Sylvie, a person who was taking out, or at least, you know, taken away because she was different, because she was not the status quo, or, you know, anything of the like, right?
Right.
She did nothing wrong. Be it she is being subjugated to this thing just because she was born a certain way, made a certain way, or, you know, happened to be different. Same thing with him. He is not the original Loki, or, I mean, Kang. But he is a version of Kang, and he has a reason to live. He also, you know, hasn't done anything to her. You know? I was going somewhere, but then I looked it back.
Well, basically, you know, he has his own choices. He hasn't done anything wrong. You're condemning him to death for something he hasn't even done. You know? Similar thing to Sylvie and pretty much all the other variants. You know, like, they haven't done anything wrong. And, but, you know, in order to protect the sacred timeline, they have to get pruned and stuff. You know, their worlds have to be destroyed kind of thing. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where Sylvie's like, well, shit, I'll let him live. We'll, you know, take him back to the TVA. But she's also just like, don't make me regret doing this. Because she still has her doubts, right?
Yeah.
But she also understands, like, I can't be the sole arbiter of killing just dudes who haven't done anything.
Though it does bring up an interesting question, though. What if, like, at one point she meets a Kang who is good? Right? Who is, like, genuinely good.
Like, who has done, like, actual good things and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she did promise that, you know, if she ever finds any more variants, she's going to kill them. So, I mean, you know. Yeah, that brings up the interesting dilemma and stuff, right?
Yeah. And so I think at that point it ends with Renslayer and Miss Minutes at the end of time.
Yeah, Sylvie pretty much knocks this, you know, Renslayer's like, hey, listen, you know, if you're going to kill me, just kill me, please. And I do what you got to do. And Sylvie's like, you know, I thought about doing that for a long time, all the various ways I could kill you. But you know what? I got a better plan.
Suffer in loneliness.
Yeah, like you want. I feel like this has all been about getting power for you. So you know what? Getting the seat at the end of time. Yeah, I'll help you out with that. So he kicks her through the time door, sends her to the end of time, where she's basically kind of stranded. And Miss Minutes and Renslayer, you know, they're sort of having to formulate their next plan.
And yeah, that's where the episode ends. And there's so much things to talk about too. Obviously, one thing that really caught my attention was the whole Miss Minutes having a thing for Kang, basically. I felt, for one, while it works in sense, the execution of it feels off, but I feel like it's leading to something else, right? Especially with the relationship between Kang and Renslayer. Because remember, at the beginning of the first episode, we hear Kang talking, or a recording of Kang, He Who Remains, I guess is probably the better person to say.
Yeah.
Talking to Renslayer. So clearly there's a connection there.
Yeah.
But Renslayer has no memories of it, right? And, well, I forgot to mention, Miss Minutes alluded to a dark past for Renslayer.
Or more like she knows a big secret about Renslayer. That if she reveals it to her, you know, she's going to get angry.
Yeah. So that kind of brings up to the question, like, what does she know? Why is she so involved? We know that she's infatuated with He Who Remains, but does it have to do with the fact with the dark secret of what happened to Renslayer?
Don't know.
I've been seeing some theories about it online, though. There's one theory I saw, and I really think it would be a really cool thing. I doubt they'll do it, because oftentimes the stuff that people come up with are a lot better than what the writers or person, in, you know, showrunners would have. It's that Miss Minutes is the is an AI created from the memories of Renslayer.
I don't know.
And it's sort of like a Cortana kind of thing.
I don't know. Maybe. It does sound neat.
Yeah. I don't think they'll do it.
Well, here's my thing.
Yeah.
And as much as you say that, like, sometimes the fans can come up with more interesting things than the writers, sometimes the fans come up with dumb things.
They do. They do. I'm not saying fans are always better writers than the actual writers. But sometimes they come up with an idea that's like, oh, you know, that's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. But that always comes from hindsight and not an actual, you know, perspective of a writer.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I mean, yeah, that's an interesting theory. I think I'm more sort of leaning towards, I don't know, because, I mean, yeah, there is, like, an interesting little, like, romantic dynamic, maybe, for Renslayer and He Who Remains, but I also think it's probably also that of, like, you know, it's like how Sylvie says, like, you know, Renslayer wants power, and I feel like we might learn a bit more of, like, Renslayer's background, like, maybe, like, from her time or whatever, she was, she was a, sort of downtrodden, and, like, He Who Remains was the one that sort of gave her the push, right, to be, to take control of her life and stuff, and she sort of sees, like, repayment for that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's sort of where I'm leaning towards, like, I owe a debt to this guy, you know?
But again, that goes to the question, like, what was the dark past, right?
Yeah, I mean, we might get a little bit more of that, who knows?
But yeah, no, I think this is probably one of the things, I remember someone saying to me that it's kind of a little hard to follow considering, like, all the stuff that's happened. I feel like, really, you should only have watched the anime movie and that's it, or just the scenes with Kang to really understand what's going on, because that's about it.
I mean, I don't know, like, I don't really see what's really confusing, like, I think...
Do you think fans or people who watch these are overthinking it?
I don't know, maybe, because I don't think there's anything really, like, hard to follow, it's just, hey, you know, He Who Remains is a dangerous person. Created TVA to stop a multiverse or war from his variants, and now they're running about. And, I mean, yeah, I guess the Ant-Man movie has Kang in it, you know, but it doesn't really reference much back to the plot of Loki, other than, like, the ending credits scene with Victor Timely in it. But besides that, I mean, like, you don't really need to watch Quantumania to understand what's happening in Loki. They're kind of, like, they feel a bit separated in the plot, you know?
So the reason I bring this up is because I feel like there's a lot of people who are questioning whether or not they need to watch or at least see enough stuff to understand what's going on in some of the current Marvel stuff. I don't think you do. It's clearly obvious, like, for most of these projects, they're meant to be, like, one-offs and no connection at all. Right? Kind of like how most comics kind of are, unless there's a thing that leads up to a big event. I think that's where they're doing now, and I think that's why a lot of people are kind of, like, not confused or, like, having a hard time to grasp what's going on, right? Because the last few movies, the last big chunk of films for Marvel were all kind of connected to each other to help branch into, like, what's going on and what's going to lead into. And it's that will eventually happen, right? Now, the thing is, these aren't meant to be connected, but they're supposed to mentally... But so, there's a little bit of teasing here and there of, like, what to do, right?
Yeah. No, I definitely get that.
I'll say this. I think Loki is probably one of the better things to come out right now.
No, absolutely. It is. Yeah.
They continue to have that sort of thing that latch people onto... to that first season, so, you know, it's good. It's a good thing that there's a sense of consistency in at least a Marvel project that a lot of people are looking forward to and a lot of people are excited for.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's it sets up a lot more for, you know, the multiverse saga that they're going for.
Yeah,
you know, so. I mean, I am sort of interested to see where it kind of leads to, you know?
Now, I will say this. I think there's only, like, 6 episodes, and we're already halfway through.
Yeah.
I keep going back to this, man. I'm sorry. These episode constraints, man, I don't know about them, man.
Well, I mean, the last season did well.
Yeah.
With being 6 episodes, so I'm pretty sure the people behind Loki know how to pace their show at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say, really. You?
No, yeah, I think that's sort of where I'm kind of saying, you know, I like the episode. It has a lot of good moments, especially with towards the end there. So yeah, I think it sort of really brings it all together, you know?
There's really not much to talk about aside from, like, a little bit of theorizing here and there, but essentially, It continuously stays as probably one of the better projects. But yeah, if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at TheGeekCenturions. We're more so than we're on Instagram. There's a link to the podcast as we're officially part of Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And there's a link to the YouTube for your audio listeners if they want to put a face to the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. And yeah, that's been Loki.
Yeah, you know, show is still interesting, still finding ways to, like, make, you know, like, cool, interesting takes on what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, same here. Anyways, me and boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.